2005. Open the public hearing on Senate Bill 96. Sam and Bob Rindy will come forward, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senate Bill 96, which will allow the Land Conservation Development Commission to amend land use planning goals and guidelines to allow only one hearing if a change in amendment is required as required by legislative enactment or ballot measure. Currently, I think there's 10 meetings that's required statewide, two in each district. So this is one where the agency is not proposing a change, that it's being directed upon them to make these changes.
Sam, can you report to the committee how this came through the Senate?
Yes,
big time.
It had 24 A's and one excused, and let's see, I think there was five were attending, so I think it was 24 yeses, one no, and five out of on business.
Who was the no?
It looks like the reading that correctly was Shields.
We're no. Okay. Mr. Rindy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and I thank you for holding this hearing on this bill. Senate Bill 96 is something that Land Conservation Development Commission asked us to bring forward. Right now, under state law, if LCDC adopts or amends a statewide land use planning goal, we, as Sam reported, we have to do have to hold 10 hearings statewide, two in each district, and that's a good thing. That's not anything that we're trying to shirk with this bill. But I can tell you firsthand that when LCDC holds a hearing to amend a goal and reports to the audience that the amendments are what is required by statute, there are a number of audience members who will rightfully ask, well, why are you seeking our input? There isn't, LCDC can't disregard the legislature and not do something, regardless of who might ask them to do something different. That's one of the reasons for this, but more importantly, by our estimates or our accounting, it cost $114,894 to amend a goal. That's a high cost that's reflective of all the costs involved with holding those statewide hearings, and we think that cost would be substantially reduced if we only held one. Clearly it would be. We report to you, and I know you have noticed this throughout this session, that whenever a bill comes forward that would require LCDC to amend a land use goal, there's an automatic fiscal of $114,000. We don't have a choice in that matter, and that's simply reflective of the goal hearings we have. We would rather not report those, you know, have that kind of a fiscal impact to simply carry out something that the legislature has asked, which would be the case if you do pass one of those bills. So, and I've listed in my letter some of the fiscals from last session and this session where we've had to report this. The number this session is actually far higher than I'm reporting there, because there are a number of bills that haven't had a hearing and therefore we didn't get asked to do a fiscal, but if we had, we would have reported this same fiscal. So that's just something to keep in mind as we also look at this. We think this is a good proposal, it's a good idea, and its time is due, and ask that you pass this bill.
Any questions for Mr. Rindy? Rob, would this reduce the cost of a goal amendment down to, I'm assuming this, instead of 10 hearings, you'd have one hearing, that you're eliminating 90% of the cost, that there still would be around the $10,000 cost, something in that?
Mr. Chair, I didn't ask that of our fiscal department, but I suspect it would be higher, because some of those costs, a lot of those costs had to do with what we pay the Attorney General for their services and just regular notices. When we amend an administrative rule or adopt a new administrative rule, by law that's only one hearing. Usually LCDC takes two or three, and that average cost is $33,000. I don't know that this would be much lower than that, but it could be. I can get back to you with a number.
Now, in the Judiciary Committee this morning, Department of Justice announced that they bill at $95 an hour. So when you go back, make sure that you're at 95 or below.
Mr. Chair, I think that's a good idea. We'll make sure.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Bob. Is there anyone else who wishes to holler Levy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, senior staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors. I'll be very quick. We support this bill. I think it's a good streamlining measure and commend the department and the governor's regulatory streamlining committee for bringing it forward. We ask that you pass it to the floor. We'll do pass recommendation. Thanks.
Any questions, Harlan? Thank you, Harlan.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify on Senate Bill 96? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 96 and open a work session on Senate Bill 96. Representative Ackerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate Bill 96 be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved Senate Bill 96 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenlick?
Excused.
Nolan?
Yes.
Anderson?
Excused.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair Rogers?
Chair votes aye. Representative Ackerman, would you like to carry this?
I will.
Representative Ackerman with the carrier, and we move Senate Bill 96 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, it's my role in life to suggest consent calendar unless this really needs to be explained in detail on the floor.
Representative Nolan.
Representative Ackerman, I keep stealing bills from you.
I have no objection to it. I just wonder if you think it reflects a significant policy change because you're dropping the amount of public input.
Came out of the Senate unanimously, but I don't object if you want to.
Seems a rather radical departure from the previous way of doing things. Perhaps it should be heard on the floor. Okay. Anyone else have an opinion?
I realize that that's
a radical bill.
We will close the work session on Senate Bill 96.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
We could reopen if you would like.
We will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 346A. Sam?
Senate Bill 346 will allow for the propagation, cultivation, maintenance, and harvesting of aquatic species for uses other than food or doing exclusive farm uses. It will amend ORS 215 in three spots to allow for those and to make it essentially an outright permitted use. Currently, it's the raising of aquatic species is in many counties a conditional use, so this will move it to the permitted use category. I will bring your attention to a dash 3 amendment that we have. The intent with the dash 3 amendment is brought to you by, submitted by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Mr. Roy Eccles, Deputy Director, and it will essentially eliminate all of Section 1. They have some concerns specifically with the aquatic species being added into that section as it relates to jurisdiction matters within their department. I know that they're here, that you'll be able to explain that in a little more detail. The bill came out of the Senate, 27 yeses and 2 excused and 1 attending other business.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Russ Stoff, John Ford, Fish and Wildlife.
Good afternoon, Chair Garrard, members of the committee.
For the record, my name is Russ Stoff, not Roy Elliker, for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm a legislative liaison for the department. I'm a watershed manager in Medford, Oregon, and up working temporarily out to assist Roy on these issues. Roy, unfortunately, couldn't make it this afternoon, so I'm filling in for him on the testimony. With me today on my left is John Thorpe. John is the fish propagation manager for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We appreciate the opportunity to provide comment with the committee on with these comments on Senate Bill 346A. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has statutory responsibility for permitting fish propagation under ORS 497.252. This statute establishes license terms and conditions for private aquaculture facilities in order to protect Oregon's native fish populations. I've attached that statute to the back of the testimony. Generally, the department has no issue regarding fish aquaculture as a permitted or conditional use. However, Senate Bill 346A, as written, sets up a potential and direct conflict with ODF&W fish propagation statutes. Specifically, this occurs on page 1, lines 19 through 21, which moves the phrase aquatic species outside rules adopted by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. This proposed change to the phrase aquatic species has no direct bearing in Oregon land use statutes on whether aquaculture is a conditional or permitted use. It is the department's understanding that the proposed changes on page 13, line 25, and page 19, line 23, affect the land use changes requested by the aquaculture industry. Excuse my error here, a dash 3 amendment correcting the potential conflict between land use regulation and the ODF&W fish propagation statute has been prepared for the House Committee on Land Use. The department appreciates the opportunity to provide comment to the committee and will continue to work cooperatively with the aquaculture industry. This concludes my testimony, and Mr. Thorpe, I will be happy to answer any questions.
Now, the dash 3s are actually the dash what was formerly the dash 2s.
Correct, Chair Gray.
Any questions from the committee? You must have done a good job. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Stick around in case we...
Absolutely.
Lunch slack, please. Committee, we have three more people to speak on this bill.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Art Slack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. And I'm here to let you know that the Association of Oregon Counties cannot support passage of Senate Bill 346. We're still trying to find out the problem that Senate Bill 346 is trying to address or what we've been told is that there has been difficulty in getting conditional use permits, and that difficulty includes if somebody adds a pond or a tent or something like that to cover a pond, that they have to go back through the process. Let me just say that the conditional use permit process allows or provides for an overall plan, and it provides for the ability to phase development. So if I wanted, for instance, and we're in looking at aquaculture, if I wanted to develop a plan and get a conditional use permit to develop 10 ponds over a period of 5 years, I could do that, and I could phase the development. This quite often happens. And you don't have to go back each time to get a new permit. Now, I will say that you have to develop your overall plan in order to get that permit that allows phasing over a period of time. So that, I don't think, is a problem at this point. Going back as to why aquaculture is a conditional use rather than an outright permitted use, if you recall back in the 80s, salmon farming was quite popular. And that is one of the primary reasons why aquaculture was a conditional use rather than an outright permitted use. Now, we don't do much salmon farming today. However, it may come back. We don't know. And with the review of through the land use system, we're able to take a look at the impacts on water and other kinds of things, and there is a public process at this point. So, Mr. Chair, I am yet to understand there's a problem. The last two conditional uses that were issued took 6 weeks to process, one in Clackamas County, one in Southern Oregon, in Jackson County at this point. So that 6 weeks is not an absorbent amount of time. So again, Mr. Chair, the other issue that we have from a land use that we'd share with you is that with Measure 37, it's much more difficult to go back. So if we make it an outright permitted use today, and in a couple of years we decide that we need more review, it's going to be much more difficult to go back to where we are today at some point in the future. We think it would be better to wait until Measure 37, the dust clears, and we clearly understand it before we start changing categories between what's conditional use and outright permitted. Finally, Mr. Chair, we too have a concern with respect to the review of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and taking them or eliminating their ability to review and approve or condition aquaculture facilities would be a concern to us. So, that, Mr. Chair, that completes our comments.
Any questions? Yeah.
Sir, what sort of lands are available for outright use of this undertaking in counties? How about forest lands? Is that an outright permissible use?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sumner, you would have to look at the statutes as it relates in the administrator's rules as it relates to forest land. It's specifically called out in agricultural land, but it's not called out in forest land. My response necessarily is that it's probably a conditional use there rather than an outright permitted use. But we've, over the years, have specified in a farm zone exactly what you can do is permitted or outright, and most of these facilities are probably in an agricultural zone rather than in a forest zone, but they could happen other places. And this piece of legislation would not impact that.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a quick question. Mr. Schlag, did you testify on the Senate?
Yes, I did. Representative Smith.
Follow up.
Follow up.
Do you know why it passed unanimously?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, we testified and expressed the concerns that we have expressed here. We did not do a floor letter, however.
Tell me at this point now, if I wanted to do some aqua farming, I first have to go to Fish and Wildlife and get a license.
Mr. Chair, you could, if you want to do an aquaculture facility, you would, I would say that you would do a parallel program or a parallel process where you would discuss with ODFMW what you would like to do, and you would go and start the land use process. The land use process could be approved, and one of the conditions would be that you, before you start it or commence it, that you would get the permit from ODFMW. Now, whether there would be any other conditions that would be appropriate based on the uniqueness of the site, that also would be taken into consideration this year.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Marianne.
Guest? Is it Jest?
Guest.
I got it right. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Mary Ann Guest, representing the Wild Salmon Center, and I just want to add our support to the amendments that have been brought forth by ODFW, and then we'll be in support of the bill.
Thank Any you. Questions? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Rowletter.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rowletter. I'm the Government Affairs Advisor for the Oregon Aquaculture Association. This bill is about, as Mr. Schreck pointed out, it's about what's allowed and what's not allowed in exclusive farm use. It's not about what ODFW has authority over or they don't have authority over. I think that's clearly the ODFW authority in the 297-252 is very clear. ORS 506-036 establishes ODFW's overall authority for food fish and game fish. In what I've handed out to you, I've given you the statutory regulations for the statutes for food fish and for game fish. So whatever it says in a definition of exclusive farm use does not seem to us to affect ODFW's ultimate authority over fish propagation. The issue here is whether we should have to apply for a conditional use permit in order to propagate aquaculture. If we were any other kind of farmer, the same changes that we'd need to make would be in outright use. If we wanted to switch from sheep to cows, or if we wanted to change our fencing arrangement or a watering facility, or if we wanted to change our feed barn, those would all be things that we could do under the exclusive farm use definition in an exclusive farm zone. But in some counties, since aquaculture is a conditional use, every time we need to make those changes, we need to either anticipate all the changes that we might make over the period of our farming life, or we need to continually go back and go through the process. And even though it only took 6 weeks for Ms. Leston to get her last conditional use permit, she had to pay for it, she had to notify the neighbors, and she had to wait and for that whole process to go on and go through the uncertainty of that whole process while she was trying to change something with her farm. And I'll ask Ann to talk about her specific reasons for bringing this bill forward now, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
My name is Ann Reistrom, and I'm co-owner of Clear Creek Maple Ranch and the treasurer of Oregon Aquaculture Association. And good afternoon, and thank you for allowing me to speak. My husband and I own Clear Creek Maple Ranch, which owns two facilities in Clackamas County. One is in Estacada, which is an exclusive farm use zone, and it does not have any waters that go out to the waters of the state. Our other facility is in Oregon City, and it does have waters that go out to the state, and is in a timber zone. And we don't have to, for that facility, we don't have to get permits every time we do something. When we began using our well water at our land-based facility, we were told by the Clackamas County that we needed a conditional use permit, which we submitted for, and it was $600. And then after getting that approval, after our neighbors were notified, we were told that if we were going to put up another portable tank or move that portable tank, that we needed to come in and get another conditional use permit. And I asked him specifically, I said, so does that mean if I go out and buy a portable swimming pool and I put it up and put my fish in it, I need another permit for $600? And he said yes. And to have Oregon aquaculture is 1.2% of the gross sales for Washington, Idaho, California, and Oregon. It's significantly underrepresented. We've got a huge potential for what it could be. What we've tried to do with Oregon Aquaculture Association is to get together and find some ideas about how we can bring more revenue to Oregon and how we can expand our business and to be agriculture, to be realized that we are farming, that we are trying to raise a species, you know, to feed people and to provide recreational fishing, not to interfere with the, you know, the fish of the state and not to do any harm in that way. That's really our main goal. I don't think that we have not wanted to undermine the Fish and Wildlife's authority in 497-252 with this bill in any way. We just want to make it easier for people to farm so we can raise more fish, so we can have more revenue, so that we can support our families in rural Oregon.
Mr. Chairman, you alerted me to this amendment this morning, and I hadn't had a chance to review it with legislative council or other folks. And so we really don't know for sure whether the Dash 3 amendment will still do what we want to occur or not. And so I might ask that we all be given a chance to look at it. We have no intention of usurping ODFW's authority to manage the fish and wildlife in this state. We have great respect for the fish and wildlife, as all farmers do. And so I just don't know what to tell you about whether our association supports the Dash 3 amendments. On the face of it, we don't. This argument was made in the Senate, and we said, gee, you know, we don't have any intention of changing the wildlife laws. We just want to change the definition of exclusive farm use. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let's see if I can understand this.
All you want to do with this bill is to avoid going through the conditional use permit process in each county.
And it's not every county.
That's correct.
Apparently it's only a couple of counties that the definition was written at a certain time period where aquaculture was not included in the definitions of agriculture.
Okay, and in the original bill, I believe there were only two counties that were mentioned originally in this bill. Mr. Chairman, when we testified about this in the Senate, we thought there were only two counties, but apparently there are three counties where we didn't realize that it was a problem in Jackson County of it being a conditional use. We knew that it was a conditional use in Marion and in Clackamas County because we have association members there who've encountered this, but we didn't hear from the person in Jackson County.
Any questions? Representative Ackerman.
I'm still puzzling with this, and maybe you can help me. Is there any overlap between the terms of a conditional use permit and the rules or regulations of the State Fish and Wildlife Commission?
Yes.
Is there anything here that overlaps?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ackerman, normally when you get a conditional use permit, there are conditions put on it. And the conditional use permits on this issue that I've seen say that the person who's made this application, if they receive the conditional use permit, then they have to get their approvals from the various state agencies like ODF&W, the DEQ for water discharge and things like that.
So it's just worked out as a part of the conditional use permit process then?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ackerman, that's the way I understand it, yes.
Okay, thank you. It's helpful.
Just for my own enlightenment, the relating clause says, for uses other than for food or game, what other uses are there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sommer,
There are ornamental uses for our fish. There are numerous aquatic plants that are grown as wetland restoration plants. In this case, we're trying to expand our businesses, and so we're looking at all the things that could preclude us from that expansion in the future as aquatic farms. And while we've been able to work our way through the conditional use process, at least so far, we think that in the future we may come up against some unknown quantity that we just don't understand and that we haven't anticipated.
Any other questions? Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
I think what the request is a fair one to ask Art, Joe, and John, if the three of you could get together on this thing, and it did pass out of the Senate unanimously, and I sit here wondering why you're struggling with this, and I'm not sure why at this point. So perhaps would a week be sufficient time for you to take a look at the Dash 3s?
We need to be.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll have you come back in a week and hopefully have this sorted out so that you're all in agreement on it. That's what that's what the committee would like to see, is you all agree on this bill.
Okay. Do anything?
Well, we're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't see it that actually does anything.
It's a bill.
I mean, I don't see it does anything as it is, except move aquatic species from one part of a sentence to another.
Yeah.
And then I don't see any other changes.
Conditional use change.
Anyone else wish to speak on this bill?
No wonder nobody had a problem with it.
We will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 346A, and we will reschedule it for a week from today and take another look at it. Committee, that concludes our schedule, and the Committee on Land Use is adjourned.